So there we go. All right. So I'm going in. Good morning. Welcome to the KRFY Morning Show. Once again, I am Julie Kalamine here with Julie Porchinski, and I would like to introduce our morning show guests, who are Preston and Preston. You're Preston Andrews, right?
That's correct.
And you're the current president, so Preston the Prez of the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. And Mary Haley, you're on the board, and you also put together that beautiful newsletter or journal. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. Well, you've both been here on KRFY before, sometimes wearing different hats, but this morning you're both wearing the Native Plant Society hat. So can you tell us just shortly, briefly, how you came to be on the board of the Native Plant Society? And then I'd like to hear about the organization, what it's all about. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I'm a newer member, relatively. I guess 12 years is newer. I grew up in North Idaho and talked my husband into retiring up here. And so when we moved up about 13 years ago, we looked for people. We'd built a house. We wanted to know what to plant. We're education-minded people. And so one of the organizations that we discovered early on and joined was the Native Plant Society. And really enjoyed their program, still do.
Yeah, and it's really a community, isn't it? You feel like you're among a group of friends.
You really do. And there's a lot of things that people don't know about the Native Plant Society. Like if you're a member, they will come out. They have limited spots, but they will come out and look at your yard or your property and say, you know, this is how you can beat this back and plant natives. And as a new homeowner, that was, you know, have that information, have that plant book was very useful.
Yes, we're going to come back to that. But meanwhile, we'll introduce Preston. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning, Julie.
Yes, and I think you came from Washington, if I'm correct. Tell us a little bit how you came to be here in Sandpoint and how you found the Native Plant Society.
Well, I had a 30-year career at Washington State University. I was a professor of horticulture there, so I lived in Moscow for many years. I lived in Pullman for a number. My wife and I, Patty, wanted to decide where to retire and came up here. I retired in 2017 from WSU, and I was looking for something. I'm a plant nerd, so I was looking for something to do with plants, and the Native Plant Society struck me. I like wild places, so I like native habitats. So that's how I came to join the Native Plant Society, probably in about 2017. So I'm a relatively new member as well.
Because there are some very old members, old in terms of their membership, and maybe a little old also. But yes. Yeah.
Maybe it makes you young if you join.
That's right.
It makes you younger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's true. Well, what is the Native Plant Society all about? What is the mission? What are you all trying to do?
Well, our mission, and I always have my cheat sheet here so that make sure I don't miss anything, is to foster an understanding and appreciation of native flora and habitats in the panhandle of North Idaho, advocate for the conservation of this rich natural heritage for future generations, encourage the responsible use of native plants in landscaping and restoration, and educate youth and the public in the value of native flora and their habitats.
That's a pretty big mission.
It is.
Yes, yep. Well, let's get into that. Let's talk about how you accomplish this rather large mission. There's a lot of ways you're doing it. First of all, it's through one way, and maybe I'll just start with this, is through programs, because you guys do a great job with presenting speakers who really have something interesting to say, and usually in relationship to native plants.
Yes, and I've been the program coordinator now for, well, since 2019. I took over just before COVID.
And
so the challenges of that came up, and we went to Zoom and had lots of programs during that period of time. But we've had some really interesting programs recently. Saturday's program was on bats.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Carrie Hugo from the BLM in Coeur d'Alene came and talked about bats. And in April, we had members of the Coeur d'Alene tribe come and talk about native food crop plants and how they preserve them.
Yeah, really interesting topics. And this has been going on for years, as you say, since you took it over in 19, but it was going on before that. And it's just an endless list of topics you might not have thought about, but do relate to native plants and native communities, all that kind of thing. Mary.
So in June 21st, we're meeting at the Waterlife Discovery Center. And it will be more informal. That's the annual meeting. And then we'll get a tour of that facility and all the native plants and how we are creating, you know, butterfly habitat and working with the riparian and the wetlands area.
And you know, you're great partners in a lot of ways, but I'm thinking you're working with the Master Naturalists in this
area. I'm the treasurer of the Master Naturalists, so.
Yes, I had a feeling there was a connection there. And I was out there during the 7B Gives Week and noticed some of your great improvements at Water Life, the butterfly garden, and just other areas that have seen help from either you all at Native Plant Society or the Master Naturalists.
Yeah.
So you're making an impact. Julie P.
How would you find out about these programs? I mean, where is it listed?
Well, they're in the print news media.
Okay.
The Reader, the Bee, and they are on Sandpoint Online, and we send out twice a month news blast, email blast, and they're listed there. The Kinnickinnic Journal has the latest one, usually not an extensive list. And then we have our website, which does list the programs when they're going to be in the future. And that's at nativeplantsociety.org.
Okay.
Lots of places.
Yes.
And they're usually held at the library, except in June it'll be at the
Waterlife Discovery. Yes. The old fish hatchery.
Yes.
We often meet at the library because of the construction that's going to start at the library. We're going to be at Community Hall, which is where we formerly used to meet all the time. So both of those venues are, you know.
Likely.
Yeah.
And however, the media, your access to media at the library has been a nice improvement, hasn't it? The community center is a little bit bigger of a challenge for
The nice thing about the library is that many people are just coming in the library and they see there's something happening and they come down and you know, it's about something interesting like moths. One time we had a talk about moths, you know, who thinks those are interesting, but they are very.
They really are.
They're out at night, so we don't see them very much.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pollinators, too, I think. Yes, yeah, so programs are a big deal. And back to the journal for a minute, Mary, I believe you need to be a member of the Native Plant Society to receive your newsletter.
The newsletter is now on the website.
Oh, it is? Okay.
And so we've done away with the paper version a long time ago.
All right.
And we are switching formats a bit. It used to be almost a monthly. Now it's going to be three times a year. So it's going to be more focused on seasonal articles, seasonal issues. And if you want to be really in the newsy news, there is the twice a month email blast.
Okay.
And we do not sell your information or, you know,
yes.
Spam you.
And you don't have to be a member to get that email at
all. Okay, yeah. Good to know. But you could become a member because it's very reasonable and it goes to some very good causes. Should we talk about that for just a moment, how one might become a member, just a general idea of the cost and kind of some of the great benefits you receive?
I think our annual membership, we raised it a few years ago, but I think it's $35 for individual. Seniors and students are $25. And then, of course, you can join at a higher level.
Yes, of
which
course.
We always appreciate.
Yeah, or as a family, there's a family membership. So it's pretty affordable. And when you think of all the benefits between the programs, education, plant sale, which we're about to talk about, et cetera, and more. I've only mentioned a couple of things that I know about. Yeah, so folks, go online if you, and I was going to mention this. I promised Marion Preston, that I would say this, because as I was preparing for this interview, I've been a member of the Native Plant Society maybe as long as you, Preston, on and off, but I find that I fall off when I don't renew in a timely manner, and you guys are great about like one reminder and maybe two reminders, but I must be a person who needs about five reminders. So I noticed that I've fallen off the list, and I'm going to take care of that today. And if there are listeners out here who might be in that same predicament, get online and renew your membership. It's pretty affordable. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a bunch of topics, but should we jump on and talk about the upcoming plant sale?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The plant sale is our big fundraiser, and we bring in native plants from, and I'm having a senior.
Cedar Mountain Perennials in Athol.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And some of the thing about planting native plants. Oftentimes you go into, say, Home Depot, and you go, oh, wow, what's a native plant? You know, what's going to even survive this year? Down in Idaho Falls, roses for me were an annual because I had to replant my roses every year.
Wow.
So what is hardy? What is going to last? And you can get absolutely gorgeous flowers, bushes, trees at the Native Plant Society. I got a sticky geranium about 3 years ago in a 6-inch pot. It's now 2 feet round, and grass is a very aggressive plant, and it kills other plants. Not this native sticky geranium, man. He is chomped into my grass and is, you know,
he's out competing
growing
the grass.
And growing, and it's wonderful.
What does that plant look like? Does it look like a geranium?
It does.
Yeah, nice.
It just, you know, that's its common name, and don't ask me Latin. but it's got a really pretty pink flower in the spring and geranium leaves, and
It's a native.
It's a native. It's good tenacious. Deal. It's like wood roses. You know, wood roses are not the giant showy things, but they can handle dappled light. And I've got a wood rose in the back corner that doesn't get a whole lot of sun, but man, it's taken over.
Yeah. Are you taking notes, Julie?
I am. Yes, I am.
Write down right now.
I picked up a sage and another flower. And my husband has this propensity of mowing my plants.
Oh, no.
So this morning, yesterday I walked out and he had mowed them all down. I'm like, oh. And he goes, well, you need to tell me every year. But
oh, boy.
These guys are popping right back up. They're like, mower, schmower, I'm out of here. I'm going. So.
Well, Preston, do you have the details of the sale, the date, the time it starts?
The date is going to be Saturday, June 6th.
Okay.
And it is soon. Right in front of the Bonner County History Museum, kind of between the caboose and the building of the museum. And it's the first Saturday, so the museum is open. It will have some activities for kids over at the Old Settler's Cabin in the Arboretum. And the sale starts at 9 a.m. and we end at noon. But by noon, the selection is very slim. Or even by 10:30, the selection is pretty slim.
Yeah, you need to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get there early because it's very popular. We'll have a bake sale. We'll have some yard art. We'll have
bird houses
and bee hotels from the master naturalist.
Yeah,
neat.
And there'll be more.
And a bee hotel is not for a honeybee.
No, it's for a mason bee, and it's the stuff that you buy in the store. Oftentimes, the wood is treated and not good for bees, and it's all about the size of the hole. Has to be just the right size of hole for our native
a little solitary
mason bee.
How interesting. So listeners, if you are wondering what that looks like and you want to get the right one, show up on June 6th.
I think we should talk a little bit about how important the mason bees are in our gardens and in the natural world, because they're our native bee. They're not honeybee, which is not native. Tell us a little bit about their importance in your garden and in your in the world?
Well, the you know they are the like you say the native bees, so they live here without any assistance other than providing habitat for them. Whereas honeybees, you have to manage those. They have to be managed, and somebody, the beekeeper has to know what they're doing.
Yes.
So there's a big difference there in terms of the commitment. And so they're solitary bees, as I recall, so they don't form hives, and you have to... and then there are other bees that will use dead twigs, like from raspberry bushes or from other, and they'll, in the hollow part of the twig, they'll lay their eggs. And so there are all sorts of, you know, don't clean up all your stuff, you know, right
too
away
early.
In the spring.
Right.
No,
Encourage that habitat, because that's really what you're doing with the bee hotels, is you're giving them a habitat or a place to stay so they stay in your yard.
Yes.
And pollinate your plants.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
And
they
the natives.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't sting.
No. Oh, good. Good to know.
The bumblebees are always popular in my yard. And I see them on my raspberries and other plants all the time.
They're looking for those natives. That's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And bumblebees take a lot of poking and annoying to get them to sting you.
Yes.
So
I think most bees are not as aggressive as we kind of fear that there might be.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not hornets. Bees are bees. Well, so we know the date of the plant sale, and that's the that will be June 6th from 9 a.m. to 12. We heard about the bake sale. And then you have folks that contribute some yard art, which is always kind of interesting. And Preston, you mentioned that it's first Saturday at the museum, which I believe means it's free, right?
The museum will be free that day and open and
free.
Yeah.
So that's a great
That's
advantage.
Nice.
Right,
and we're coordinating together, so they'll have activities, and we'll have the plant sale, and
it'll be a fun morning to be over at the Arboretum at the park.
We're kind of a family, the Hysteresis.
Yes, that's right.
Museum
You've been together a long time.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, you mentioned that this is your biggest fundraiser of the year, and there are a couple of other ways that you have revenue that then goes back into the Native Plant Society. I know one is membership, which I'll work on after I get off the air here, but you have a couple of other ways you make a bit of revenue, I think.
Well, our landscape book does sell. We don't make a lot of revenue from that. In fact, it just basically pays for reprinting. So that's not a profit. I mean, we break even. We have, it slipped my mind what we have. Oh, we were on Live Give 7B.
Yes,
and
great.
So we had matching donations. So that was nice because we doubled our money.
Good.
Yeah, we almost made 2,000.
Oh, that's great for your
quite.
Group.
Yeah, close to
but
that.
Close.
Yeah.
Great.
And so what will those funds go to? They don't go to you guys. You're not paid. You're on the board. How do you use them?
So there are a couple of things that we do. We do kid field trips, Tree Cookie Tuesday. So the field trips, they have stations. They go around. I've done this. It's a lot of fun. Learn about different trees. May is a huge field trip month. And Tree Cookie Tuesday, they go and learn about, you know, like pollinators or different things. It's tree cookies they decorate. If you don't know what a tree cookie is, it's a slice of a small
It's
tree.
Not an edible cookie that's made out
not,
of a
sadly,
maple tree or something.
An edible.
Okay. But we have stamps of like bees and other native critters, wildlife. That kids can stamp on their tree cookies,
fun,
and take them home.
So, yeah, that's fun.
That's fun. And so the tree tours for third grade classes, and we'll have about 250 kids, not all at once, and not all together, starting next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the morning, and we will be teaching them about our native trees
that's
in the Arboretum
cool.
at Lakeview Park.
That's really going to be fun.
Another thing that we do is the Louise Wyeth Grant. So we give $500 grant to promote education in native trees. And do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
So this year, we were a bit flush, and so we gave two of them.
Nice.
So one is to the U of I Organic Center, and they will be planting a edible native plant garden.
Great.
And they will not be planting huckleberries because you cannot, it's too low and you cannot plant. They don't grow.
But they
so
have
darn
others.
It. But there are a lot of yummy native plants that they'll be doing and creating that as an extension of their gardens and education.
Boy, I'll be excited to look at that because I do love the wild edibles. And, you know, we know where to find the huckleberries anyway, so yeah. We don't need them at the organic
And we're not
station.
Telling.
Yeah. We're not telling. No.
So, and then the other group was the, there's a new organization that has come out of the Idaho Master Naturalist that is the Friends of the Waterlife Discovery Center. This is brand new. The Master Naturalist is not a C3 organization. This one is. And it is, its purpose is to update and continue to grow the educational piece of the Waterlife Discovery Center. And so this grant will pay, they have planted a native garden heading down to the lake. And this will go for plant signs for that and the walk.
Oh, great. And so they are now organized as a nonprofit that
yes.
folks can then donate to. That's great
right.
for y'all. Well, Julie, what do you think about a little song break?
Yeah, that sounds great.
We'll sort of chat here behind the scenes and decide what else we have time to talk about. There's so much.
Yeah, this sounds great. How about Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmylou Harris with Wildflowers? Here you are, folks. And thanks for listening. This is 88.5 KRFY.
Welcome back to KRFY. It's the Tuesday morning show here with Julie Kalamine and Julie Perchinsky. Just loving Tuesday morning with summer coming on and so much to do, Julie.
Yes, a lot of activity in town.
So much to do and see, so much garden stuff, so many hikes, so many lakes to explore. It is just summer in Sandpoint,
yes,
and here comes
is.
The good weather. And with that, we also have the Native Plant Society, and this morning we've been joined, are currently joined by Preston Andrews, who's the current president of the Native Plant Society, and Mary Haley, who's on the board, among many other things that she does for the society and for other nonprofits. Thank you for being here, you two. Well, during our song break, we talked about lots of other topics, so we better jump in. Preston, we just finished talking about the Louise Wythe grants that you give, but you've received a grant. Tell us about that.
Well, yes. We have the North Idaho Native Plant Arboretum, which is between the History Museum and the Wastewater Treatment Plant in Lakeview Park. And that was founded in, it was dedicated in 1999. So in 2024, we wrote a master plan for it. And the following year, we wrote a grant and received a grant from the Equinox Foundation to improve signage and interpretive information in the arboretum. And we're working on youth-oriented signs. We're working on updating our kiosk with information there. And then we'll also be including more robust and informationally rich data plant ID signs.
Nice.
Plant ID signs.
It's such a gem full of native plants, and it's great to be able to continually re-identify these plants and really get them set in your head. I love that.
That's the beauty of the native plant, is it can be in the nature or it can be in your yard. And this kind of marries both of them, having this native plant walk in town to educate people.
And a lot of people don't really know what an arboretum is, but it's basically... technically it's a library of trees, and this one is native trees, but also included are the other supporting cast of shrubs and perennials and grasses and ferns that occupy the various levels in the forest. And one of our signs is going to be the layers of the forest.
Neat.
All the way from the top of the canopy all the way to the critters that live down at the ground.
Yes.
Plants and wildlife.
And the Arboretum really does support some wildlife. I happen to find myself in the Arboretum a couple of days a week, and there are many native birds, the insects, you know, it's just really, it supports some wildlife.
Yes.
It really does.
And some deer go through there. Yes. And occasionally, because of the osprey, like the trees to maybe snack on their fish catches, you can often find carcasses of fish lying around in the Arboretum.
It's true.
So if you're walking your dog, watch out for them. They'll find the,
they
the
find
carcasses
them.
Of the fish.
Well, wandering through the Arboretum is one way to learn something about our native plants, and it's a good way because you're seeing them in person, you know, in their various states during the year. But you've produced another way for folks to identify and maybe do some planning for their own yards, and many years ago, you created a Landscaping with Natives book or booklet, but I understand there's some changes happening.
Yes, there is a committee revising. We are currently have our second edition. There are some copies still remaining to purchase. It's still a very good book. It sells on average about 200 or so a year, steady through the years since 2012 when it came out. So it's a very, very, very usable book, very good book, and we're and things have changed, and it was time to come up with a revision, and that should come out later this year.
That's great. Well, most native plants don't change, but what is new about the book? Are there some additions? Because that book didn't list every single native plant in the area, but most of them.
Well, there were some plants that are just not available to purchase. So this is landscaping. It's not a plant ID book, although some people might use it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
But it's more of a book about how to use plants in your landscaping.
Okay.
And so the emphasis is on that. And some of the plants are not available from nurseries, and some of them maybe you wouldn't want in your yard anyway, like Devil's Club.
There you go. Well, I don't know if most listeners know what that plant is, but it's about the worst one you can run into out in the native world around here. It's a bad one.
And there are plants that we've added that that are you know, valid native plants to use in a landscaping. So we've taken out about the same number that we've added back in. We're going to improve our indexing so people can find the plants easier. That's updated.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to getting a copy of that because I think it'll benefit both me and maybe you, Julie,
yeah,
and a lot of
sure.
others. Well, when can we expect to see that?
I think it will be later this year.
All right.
We are shooting for just before the holiday season for gift giving.
Sounds like a perfect gift.
Yes,
for
it does.
A bunch of my friends.
If you're looking for planting in the summertime, you can still get the second edition. Is still a great book. And one time, when we first moved here, I Googled, you know, native plant, you know, book,
right,
you know. This is the only one.
Oh, for landscaping.
For landscaping, yes. This is the, I mean, if plant ID is plant ID, but, you know, what does a deer not eat? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you made that distinction, and that explains everything about it and why it doesn't include every single plant and really just picking out the ones that would do well in someone's yard or garden. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
I think one thing we do need to say is that even though the box stores or even the nurseries say it's a native plant, it's not always a native plant. It could be a penstemon, but it would be a
cultivar or hybrid or something.
Yeah.
There is a class of plants called nativars that is used in the industry now.
Okay.
For marketing purposes.
Uh-huh.
And they are selected varieties of a native plant.
Mm.
So they're removed, some genetically removed some amount from being native.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's I guess it's a way of marketing. They're closer to native than maybe a golden rain tree would be.
Sure,
isn't from anywhere near nearby.
Correct.
Would you be willing to offer an opinion about that? How do you feel about the native R's?
Well, I think in my own yard, we shoot for about 50-60% native, and for 40% are not. In that, some of them are our garden plants, our edible plants.
Sure.
But I think a few native R's probably aren't going to harm things. But whenever you can, I would buy the straight native species.
Right. And Bob Wilson down in Rathdrum has many of those. And he is our guy. He'll be the person who's supplying the plants for your plant sale on June 6th.
Bob and Jill.
Yes.
And have that nursery.
And they're very helpful, I think, too, if you've got questions. Remind me of the name of that nursery again, Bob's.
Is it Cedar?
Cedar Mountain.
Perennials, yes.
Yes. So if you do happen to miss the plant sale, you might still run into something down there.
Their nursery is open on Saturdays. I'm not sure their hours.
Friday and Saturday.
Oh, maybe Friday. Yeah.
Okay. And a shout out to Bob Wilson, because he's been a great supporter of the Native Plant Society and really, just been a great source of information and plant materials.
Yes.
Yeah. Good on you, Bob Wilson. All right. So we've talked about, a lot, but what we haven't touched on is what Mary began talking about here as we were introducing you, but it's the Landscape Committee, which is kind of a nice thing that the Native Plant Society is able to offer to a few people each summer. Tell us about that.
So I'm on the Landscape Committee. I'm probably the least productive member. Gail said, but this is how you learn, Mary. Great. But what we come in and we tell you, okay, this is what you've got. And these are, for instance, we went to Holy Spirit Episcopal Church last year. And, they have a beautiful field of tansy.
Oh.
And so it's like, okay, this is what this is, and this is how you kill it. These are the good plants. This is, okay, you want to plant this area. They're putting down, instead of a lawn, they're putting down fescue clover mix.
Nice.
In the fall, we laid down a lot of cardboard to kill the weeds. And then now we've started growing a native grass and clover mix. Clover's not really a native, but it's a really rockin' plant. So.
Yeah, and clover. Let's just take a second, because fescues are pretty drought resistant, and clover too, right?
Very.
That's going to be a good.
Yes, so fescue's got an incredible. It takes a while to establish, but boy, it's got a great root system. And so, the watering, you don't have to, once it's established, you don't have to water it, you don't have to mow it. And, it's a great plant. So
good.
Gail gave them, a plan of this is what you've got, this is how you get rid of things, and these are suggestions for, it is not a, if you ever get garden books, they have these maps of, plant 3 of this here and plant 7 of this there. It's not that, but it is, a spirea would work.
Uh-huh. Some These guidelines of plants that would work in the areas folks are looking to do something. And how does one become eligible to have that consultation? Do you need to have joined the
You need
plant?
To be a member.
All right.
We need to have time, and you need to talk to Gail.
All right. And is that Gail Bolin?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So Gail's a great
expert. And I think you have
expert.
To provide a lunch.
Yes.
Yes. I think
that's our
true.
Pay is lunch.
And how big is the committee?
I think there's about 6 of us.
Okay. So lunch for 6.
That's the lunch size, yeah.
Sounds like a bargain, actually. A true bargain. If you
that's the
something.
Neat thing about your club is you have all these committees. You have so many members, but you've got them all sectioned off doing different things and making it a really effective management of the club.
That's right.
That's on the webpage. If anybody wants to check it out, it is pretty interesting how to run a nonprofit that does a lot of work.
Yeah, you get a lot accomplished, guys. Kudos.
Yeah, we're almost 100% volunteer organization. We do have a summer arboretum coordinator who started when we had our first spring cleanup on Sunday, and she's knowledgeable in horticulture, so we're very fortunate to have.
Is she a repeat or a new?
She came back from last year.
Oh, great. Great. So that'll make life easy. Yeah, and so the revenue that you earn from membership and this plant sale go to some really valuable services to the community. It's great. I understand there's a new installation of art at the Arboretum. Can you tell us about that briefly?
Yes, we have a tree sculpture that depicts, it's about 8-10 feet tall, and it depicts a native blue clematis vine growing up the trunk of this Douglas fir that had died from root rot. And it has some other wildlife as part of it. It has a pileated woodpecker, a mountain bluebird, and a flying squirrel. And it's right by our little cabin. Kind of a green little cabin right off of Ellis Street.
Well, listeners, you'll have to look out for that new I guess it wouldn't be an installation, but the new addition to the Arboretum. And I'll just touch on this for one moment and say it was sort of in honor of a beloved member who's no longer with the Native Plant Society.
Correct.
Yes, well, beautiful. And well, let's see. I feel like we're not quite done, guys. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, we had mentioned talking about appropriate plants for, the drought.
Thank you. Yes.
Low water and the issues we're all dealing with.
Yes, and even possibly fire, although we all know fire is a tough one for any plant. But drought is something that native plants can handle. Let's talk a bit about that.
Well, one thing, native plants are they're macho. They're made for here. They have a root system that a cultivated plant is a plant that they have to produce, make pretty, and get out the door. And that's not a native plant. They grow deep roots. And so, we mentioned the fescues and the grasses. My geranium, plants that a cultivated geranium, it doesn't have the same root system. And so if I grew up in North Idaho, the climate is very different. We didn't have fires, I had somebody say to me, oh, yeah, we did. I remember smoke systems, they burned the fields. Back when I was a kid, that's how they handled the farming. They burned the grass seeds and they burned the wheat fields. And yeah, it was misery. And then they stopped doing that. And now all of a sudden we have smoke seasons again. So these plants, we're getting droughts that are beyond these plants, but they will be the last ones to go because they have created a root system that is made to last, not made to sell fast.
Yeah, that's a great statement. And I don't know if every native plant would be something you'd want to recommend for a drought-hardy kind of plant, but Preston, do you have any that just come off the tip of your tongue that you know are pretty great if it gets super dry?
A few
recommendations.
Many of them will withstand the droughts we have there, as long as they're not too prolonged. I love kinnikinick. It is one of the best ground covers, and it's evergreen.
Yes. It's a
tough evergreen.
One.
Yes. You see the leaves all year round. I grow some wood rose. They seem to be quite hardy. Oregon grape as well.
Yes.
Mountain ash. These all seem to, and most of the trees, like ponderosas, larch, seem to be fairly
tolerant of some dry weather.
Yes.
You can look through the woods to see where things are growing and what is effective in dry sites like penstemon or arnica or all the different things that grow on the cliffs.
Yes.
You know, there's no water there, and they're growing out.
If you take a walk around, mm-hmm. or you take hikes around, you know, Bonner, Boundary County in the mountains and in the valleys, you'll see the different habitats and what plants, native plants grow there. And those are the native plants you can buy and put in your yard depending on where you live and what sort of a climate you have.
Right.
Yeah, walk up Mineral Point is a pretty good viewing of some plants that can take some dry times.
Yes.
Now, I always get this one reversed. It blooms in the spring. It's a big yellow mass with lots of vegetation. Is it balsam leaf arrowroot or arrowleaf balsam root? Now I'm going to mess it up for everyone for the rest of their lives.
Arrowleaf balsam root.
There
all right.
Go.
Arrowleaf
ask
balsam
the
root.
and it grows in dry sites.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, it does.
And very early blooming.
Pretty.
Yeah, very pretty.
And very, that's one that hangs on too. So there are lots of plants that people can be thinking about for drought tolerance. And I think where I'm going with this is to say that if you're listening and enjoying this conversation, the place to go would be to you all to join the Native Plant Society and attend some meetings, get the Landscaping with Native Plants book and meet some people, right? Let's talk about how meeting folks helps.
Right.
Your friends, let's have a short conversation about the knowledge that's contained within the group of the native plant folks.
Well, we have members that have been since almost the beginning, or maybe the beginning, and so they have the knowledge of the organization and a lot of plant knowledge.
Yes.
And we have new members, and many of them are very enthusiastic.
Yes,
so,
good.
We have the range of...
Yes, it runs the gamut. But there's a lot of knowledge, and people are friendly at the meetings.
Yes.
It's great. Yeah.
Everybody's sharing back and forth, and it's a passion.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah. We have a social half hour before the programs start, and then after the programs, there's usually questions for the guest speakers, and more knowledge is exchanged that way.
That's right. And if you're, you know, maybe a bit of a shy, wilting dandelion, you can...
not native.
It's, which is not very shy or wilting. I'm making a joke. But you can volunteer for activities such as weeding out dandelions.
We have plenty of dandelions.
Yes.
All over.
Yes. Well, all right. I think it's been a great...
I do have one quick question. Will you be able to get into the Arboretum this year and do the... And ID all the different plants with your grant money, or is that a next year project?
We plan on purchasing the signs, the ID signs this year.
Okay.
And then some of them will be installed on perennials, on trees and shrubs. And then the flowering plants, we'll probably not put them until next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Something to look forward to. As we come to a close, I would ask for you to just, excuse me, remind listeners of the two upcoming events, time and date of the plant sale, and also your next program.
Okay. The plant sale is going to be June 6th, Saturday, June 6th, right in front of the Bonner County History Museum. And the... the program is on the, what was the date?
It is June 21st, Saturday at 10?
At 10 o'clock. We'll begin with our annual meeting at Sandpoint Community Hall. And we have to elect new board members and have committee reports. And then we'll migrate over across the river to the Wildlife Discovery Center.
Yep.
And have an excellent tour of the
facility and just take a walk with a bunch of knowledgeable people.
That's
great.
And I'll just come to a close here, but if you would also just mention your contact info, whether it's the webpage or however you'd like to be contacted.
Well, nativeplantsociety.org will get people to our webpage. We have a email that you can use, knps.tech. I think it's got a dot. knps.tech at kinnikinicnative@gmail.com.
Okay. So plenty of ways. And I'm sure you could just Google Kinnikinick Native Plant Society and find everything.
And spend some time on it. There's so much information on that website.
And if you want to drop by the Arboretum sometime, our Arboretum coordinator will be there. I think it's going to be Sunday through Thursdays. And I'm not sure of her hours, but she'd be glad to welcome anyone and share information with.
Oh, what a nice offer. Yeah. She's out there, and if you're wandering through, it would be great.
And we also have a little library there, too.
Okay. Oh, yes, the little library is there. That's great. Well, all right. I want to thank you, Mary Haley and Preston Andrews from Kinnikinick Native Plant Society for joining us this morning and talking about upcoming events and programs and everything else you got going on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll go to another wild thing with the trogs. This is 88.5 KRFY, and we'll be right back.